Hi, podcasters. This is Brooke. Let's talk art. Today I'm talking art with artist, sculptor, painter, Dragger Mertont, all the way in the Netherlands. I found him on the Saatchi website and featured one of his collages on my website. He found it, contacted me, and we connected. He's got such an amazing story. He is a former world-famous veterinarian, but decided in 2012 he wanted to be a full-time artist. Enjoy! I've never been smart with investments or stocks, but one thing I've learned over the years is that an investment in knowledge pays the best interest. If you want to get smart with your money, you can trade smarter and maximize your returns with Trade with UFOs. Trade with UFOs is a brand that represents a community of users trading with predictive tools. You don't have to be good with stocks. They literally hold your hand while you trade, teaching you everything you need to know. You see, Trade with UFOs is also a portal which provides access to predictive apps, courses, and coaching, all to show you how to make money using unfilled orders. Why am I so passionate about this? Because then we'll all have more money in our pockets to buy more art. It's time to get smart with your money. Leverage your success with Trade with UFOs. Go to tradewithufos.com and use my offer code Brooke for a 50% off discount on all of their products. That's B-R-O-O-K-E.
Must have been almost 2 years since last Zoom for me.
Wow. Awesome.
At 7:45 here, Zoom asked for updates.
Yeah.
Then you enter a mess because after the update, I tried to start and again repeated, I want an update. So now I'm via the browser. But okay, it works.
Right. Perfect. Oh, we made it work. Hooray.
Yes.
Oh, fantastic. How are you?
Very busy. Yeah, we had several things on one day, which almost one cannot combine.
Yeah.
So I have an installation to bring first to Eindhoven, not so far, but in Holland. 100 kilometers is quite a distance with very crowded traffic.
Right.
And from there, have a blind artist with whom I worked between 2020 and 2022 for an installation which will be in an exhibition from November 10. So I have to drive on November 9 to Eindhoven, pick up George with some material, then to Ghent in Belgium, only 150, but the roads are very messy.
Yeah.
Install, return to Eindhoven to drop off George, head on to our place, deliver the bus, change for our car, drive to another city, with people with whom we have a tryout of a performance.
That sounds exhausting.
That means I will start at about 5 and hope to return home at 11.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's a lot of buildup and a long night for you. So yeah, that's.
Yeah. And I feel that at 72, the energy is not quite what it was 15 years ago.
Right. Yeah. I think that would be true of anyone, any age. That's just a long, exhausting day. Yeah.
But my thoughts are, if you prepare it well, and indeed you need to steer the energy towards such a day, so that before you have proper relaxation, and you remain steady, not irritated, and then you can just go on till the end. It reminds me of heavy trekking in the mountains, which we did between 75 and 2010, often many weeks, with backpack, for me 15 kilograms, for Janine about 12, Then we hiked up and down hills and mountains for 1 week, had some shopping, but also those days could take 12 hours. And if you had a specific goal, there was no way you could stop earlier. So it's quite helpful in life to have such an experience if you have different tasks to complete.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. So that is awesome. That's very, very exciting. You are a Dada artist in the Netherlands.
I mix a lot. It's Dada, it's a bit of Cobra.
Okay.
But on other days, I take longer, think longer when I perceive art, start to create, and then you cannot call it Dada. And then it's, yeah. I often look at other artists. And I admire David Smith, the sculptor. I learned about his work when I started, soon after I decided to be an artist in 2012. A friend who was an artist came with a book, and I started reading, didn't stop till the end, and I started looking further. But also artists like Louise Bourgeois. And that's not an artist who is very impulsive and finishes the work in 2 hours. So that's a different direction. So I like to combine those two approaches. At days, take a piece of paper, and within 15 minutes, something may be finished, and other work may take months. More technical, but also conceptual, complex, examining various ways, finding solutions, giving it a rest, and with a new look, try to get to the end. So that's very much varying in how I work.
So you're not about labels.
Labels are like frames, and one must be very careful. I use a lot, and I try to pick out those elements which I think I can master, and I don't like copying, but I like to look and think, what would my voice be when I try to express an approach to a subject, a theme? My way.
I like that. That's very neat. So you said you decided to be an artist in, you said 2000, what time, what year?
12,
2000.
2012.
Okay, so what had been your experience before up to that point? Like, what did you,
I
how
was,
did you make that decision?
well, many years I sat and I said, do I exploit my creativity sufficiently? And at that time I said, yes, I'm doing research, I draft proposals, try to find money, execute the trials, write publications, and that asks for creativity, but it's a specific brand of creativity. So every time I said, yeah, it's okay. And then in 2012, I said, no, it ain't enough. So I decided really I must do something more with my hand, with my mind, and create it in a way, things, experiences, transformations without any value. Up until that time, everything I did had the specific meaning, was valuable, could produce renovation of our house. I'm quite a carpenter, or a new trial, a new publication, etc. So always of value in terms of economy, of society. And
Had you
then
done,
I said,
what had you done before the art?
I was veterinarian.
Okay.
I became specialist in internal
Wow.
medicine and oncology,
Wow.
and I did a lot of comparative oncology,
Okay.
studying tumor diseases in dogs and cats,
Uh-huh.
and trying to find issues that one could compare with similar diseases in the human.
Oh, wow.
And that, yeah, was very interesting
Yeah.
work. Asked for a lot of networking within groups, and it did ask also a lot of time. I worked 60 hours a week
Oh my
for
gosh.
many, many years. But yeah, then in 2012, I said, nice, all those products.
Right.
And I was fairly well known, even in the United States. I had a few meetings where I had presentations. And if you ask the 1,000 vets present, do you know this guy?
No, you.
They could answer, yeah, that's that funny guy with his specific sense of humor from the Netherlands. Just 1 meter and 54 centimeters in height, he has a lot of guts. So that was how I was known. And the nice thing, I wanted to be an artist, but I created the new name because I know about Google. So when people start searching and they type my earlier name,
They
they
come.
get into cancer, sick animals, disease. And I said, no, don't combine that with the art. So I made an anagram, which became Drager Mutant. Asked Mr. Google, does it exist? It was a completely blank page. So that was the start in
Design.
digital terms. And also very soon creating website with this, which is a part of a huge construct in the Netherlands. There are about 3,000 artists that have their website at this organization, but also feed Pinterest with my work, write things on WordPress. So having various schemes had to try to be visible, because that's important in these days, while not going to Facebook. I just don't like this kind of work in this kind of organization. Thus, also not on Instagram. I rely on Pinterest, which is a good medium to be seen. And I like photography a lot, also the exchange with other people. And on Flickr, there's also a lot of posting from art, but also street photography and such.
Cool. Oh, that's fantastic. That's wild. See, I Googled, I think your name, Gerard Rotman, and the veterinarian stuff came off, and I was like, I wonder if that's him. I was like, but yeah, not a whole lot. That's a good reason to change your name, because you don't want to mix the two. But how does the veterinary stuff, or how does do you find that the veterinary stuff contributes to the art?
Hardly, very, very little ways of working and ways of trying to be seen uses the same tricks. But the content of my art has to do with personal experiences, irritation about things that happen in society. And if you start looking at society, you can find out that in a kind of not so rational way, but emotional way, you address issues which turn out to relate a lot to borders. So
A lot
we had
to what did you say?
borders and
Order.
boundaries, limitations, how do people get access or not? So it was present in many works, and in 2019, we, with my partner Janine and a friend with whom I did exhibitions, Petra Sen from the Düsseldorf photographer, we said, okay, our next issue is within or without the significance of borders and boundaries. COVID, of course, delayed this a lot. So we had a restart in 2022. We had our exhibition with 18 artists from 8 countries, including 4 from the United States, a lot of organization, in summer in the historic city of S-Hertogenbosch, where Hieronymus Bosch
Oh,
had his
yeah.
origin. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was a very nice exhibition, but it ain't enough.
Right.
Once you really focus on this theme, so you also, I talk a lot, as you can already appreciate, but I did see an announcement of an exhibition in Switzerland, which had to do that the title was Stranger in the Village, Racism in the Mirror of James Baldwin. And I knew a bit about this historic artist, philosopher, Afro-American, gay, and his fight for, yeah, equal rights, etc. So I said, this must be very interesting. So we had a travel by train to Switzerland, and now I'm still doing a lot of research, trying to find out more about the art and the artist that I did see there. So then you realize that art for me is a lot of research. And it's not always easy to keep the balance between just creation, looking what others do, and trying, yeah, just to level. As I said, I don't like copying, but trying to find out the motivation, the energy, the driving force, etc., of a person, and then checking yourself, what's here? What can I do by using the same senses, energy, etc.?
That makes sense. That makes sense. So you're coming at it. Okay, so you decided to become an artist in 2012. Have you been a vet before that, or a doctor? So, had you had any other art experience before that?
I analyzed myself. So
Okay.
I said, okay, I did make some piece of art every 10 years, just in a weekend, trying to do something else, but then work completely absorbed me. And yeah, to be a good clinical veterinary researcher, yeah, it's leaves very little time. So
For
it
anything
was
else.
some mountain walking and a book on the train towards the mountains and one in return, but too little reading, other areas, and very little art. So, well, but I at times did write poems. Poetry started not too early, but when I was about 20, 22, I did start with poems. I jump now, and here you see a kind of cahier with some of the poems, and these with courier, the letter type, very old-fashioned,
Oh yeah, courier.
on a classical typewriter.
Okay.
So made the poems, I did stack them in such a
So
book.
you created your own poetry book.
Yeah, but nothing happened until we had a previous exhibition in 2018. I was invited, as you might say, very early on, just being active for about 6 years. I was invited to have an exhibition in a museum in the eastern part of the Netherlands. And I said, okay, if I have an exhibition, there also must be a book. So I had not a complete synchrony, but a fair number of art works at the exhibition, but also other artworks and street photos with related text, both in English
So
and
you had
in
done
Dutch.
photography. So you had done photography?
So it was a mixture of my own street photography, my own art, and poems written in English and in Dutch. And I produced the book during the exhibition just to make use of the momentum. And with the recent exhibition in summer about the border issue, I also decided there must be a booklet, which at first was one page for each artist, a little background and relation to the theme, a few images of the art, which became a lot of images about the art present, and then an introduction, and then one author from the States. He is professor in art history, Richard Candida Smith. He was kind to also deliver one essay, and then a few others. So we had five authors, 18 artists, one book, 96 pages. And that's also, it is kind of working up on different levels, all related. So it's a project with multiple angles, the exhibition, but also such a book. And working from that basis to other connections. And we had a city, I don't know the name, but someone who is in the administration of city next to the major. Yeah, so we have the major, and then you have representatives of political parties who have the management, the administration. And the one for culture and art, he came to this exhibition on special arrangement one day, and he looked around, he was impressed, and most about the network. He said, okay, you are now active for about 10 years, but what I see here, it's amazing that you have those people here in such a harmony, varying works but all related to the theme, and selected. So then it is one matter. And he was very enthusiastic, and then you say, okay, if you're enthusiastic, this is a specific art room, then your administration in the city to take care that you continue with the existence of such venues. So it's always also a propagation of places where you land.
Oh, that's exciting. That's I never thought of it that way. That's a good illustration.
Yeah, it's.
You had talked about you do your when you create with found objects, your sculptures and or your collages too. You talk about working in layers. Tell me about that a little bit.
The layers, well, I started, as you assume, with assemblage. That
Assemble.
is because I am good working with my hands. I am not a professional carpenter, but apart from my work, I did a lot of renovation stuff in the houses where we lived. So you have professional equipment, you're fairly handicrafted. So when I decided to go to art, I said I use the same, energy and handicrafts and instruments. So I took pieces of wood, often discarded from building sites, etc., stone, metal, whatever, trying to create an assembly which often was abstract, but later on more figurative elements came in. And by nature, if you're working in 3D, you have those layers. And then collage became interesting. And at first it was asking more. How can you create the illusion of multiple layers of more dimensions when you work 2D by different colors, shapes, etc.? But in the long run, I said, yeah, I kind of start to master this process. And in 2016, I started with courses in graphics, monoprint, linocuts, etching. I like etching a lot. And what is very nice, if you start to combine those different techniques into one piece of art. So if you do, you also often have one print with one approach on top, the next. And one very good exercise was given by the trainee. Have one piece of acrylic plastic, make an image, print it, take the same size acrylic, create some other image with different ink, put it on, and try to get to 10. And then, yeah, you cannot evade to enter multiple layers. And once you have gone through this process, yeah, you have an open eye that it can give depth, can add meaning. And then it's, yeah, also fun. It's, there's a lot of play. Trying to combine things which at first no one thinks of combining.
Right, exactly. So you're just piling on stuff.
And always, as the master says, keep white in the final print. If you make it completely a blur, after. So always keep some white areas within this collage or graphic, and then it works better.
That's awesome.
And layers also relates to meaning. So some works really, by nature, but also the title, they are not the same. They point to complex issues in society. And the complexity means also there are different matters that often are in conflict and still they exist in one time, on one place, etc. So if you try to produce those, it's another kind of layering in essence, in content.
I love that. I think that's so true. How did you discover that? Because it's just your practicing with your building and carpentry. All come together, and that's really deep. That's really cool.
It is. I think I have a intuition, and it's not by learning. Also, by learning, you add knowledge into your work, but it is also a rapid understanding, seeing of the underlayer of what's happening. And then, indeed, be curious. If you're curious, you are always, I say, if I can't, I should do it. Because that's the way to learn.
Yeah, I think that's a good... I've kind of taken another approach. I like yours as well. But I say always say if I'm afraid to do it, that means I should definitely do it. I like that if you can't do it, then you should do it too. Because I'm so easily write off something because I can't do it. But I think I like your view where you can't do it, you should do it. So I think I'm gonna adopt that as well. That's fantastic. So what's next for you?
In 2 weeks, we have this performance as a group of senior people that started to be active in playing theaters that with COVID collapsed, but we kept the small group together with a good instructor, and we produced a movie. Five ways of retirement. So there was one interviewer who interviewed five other people that played a role written by text writers about very different ways of how do you enter retirement? What happens? Is there a great party? Or are you completely neglected, kicked out? And then what's next? And the so-called black hole, etc., etc. The forces of your environment to do a lot for your kids. So there's a lot going on, and this play and movie look at this from a critical but playful way, and a movie of 35 minutes was produced from, I think, 8 or 10 hours of shooting. See my professional. It was, funny enough, used by organizations that help people manage the upcoming retirement. We have specific courses here that people from companies go to. What should you do? Where should your attention be, etc.? So they use that movie at some of these courses, so also quite nice.
That's
And
awesome.
right now we are heading on towards a new play next summer, but apart from it, these weeks we are a kind of silent theater group that supports a musical core with an Italian concert play from a Mr. Banchieri from the 17th century, and time was too little. Some people were here again hit by Corona, so it's a lot of stress and trying to get to, well, what can you manage? But I'm very curious, not afraid, but I am aware that when we have the performances on November 9, 10, and 11, we must be ready to receive Rotten Tomatoes. But it might be not as bad, but it is not certain that we will have a class performance. It's kind of tricky, but it's not any longer that's making you free. It doesn't matter for my job, my future income, or whatever. A little bit about your self-esteem, but self-esteem and confidence are issue I could talk one day, and bravura can help. And yeah, indeed, don't take yourself too serious, which with the few meetings I had with Americans is contrasting. Americans often take themselves very serious because if you don't, society then takes you serious. So I am a very small person, 1 meter, 54 centimeters, and I had one performance on a big congress in Chicago.
Oh, wow.
I thanked the organizers, as you should do, and I said, but I compliment the organizers choosing me to talk about the subject of growth hormone and cancer. About everybody thought, what a blatant big shot, or person thinking himself big shot, and
Right.
he's just, and there were three people laughing, one Scottish colleague and two from the Netherlands,
They didn't get it.
because they knew about self-criticism. But that's, in my view, for Americans, often very difficult. You need to be and look big, and otherwise you just kick the side.
Right. Yeah. I think that's, you have to have a certain bravado or self-confidence, or else you can't, you're not going to get too far. I don't think that's what seems to me. But I was, what something that drew me in was, you said that you didn't expect it to do well. You didn't, you're like, we may not have a good show. But I think in America, I think we're always like told to expect the best, expect it to be like, we're told that like, if whatever your expectations about it is how it's gonna, determines how it's gonna be. So I think that's interesting that you didn't necessarily expect it to be a hit.
No, and I did read something and a few books from Albert Camus, French philosopher, and he proposed the path is more important than reaching the goal. Concentrate on what you're doing and don't think of the end product. Enjoy just
Yeah.
by going on. And if you are in that mood, you find more relaxation.
Yeah.
And in doing so, you're less tense. And the chance that you can master difficult situations is greater.
Yeah.
So that's a kind of decision that you take, which must be emotionally supported. You really must stand for it. And
Yeah.
then you
Yeah, I
just
love.
go on, and most times it's okay.
So where can people find you?
Sorry?
Where can people find you? Like, get find your art, find out about you, find out what you're doing.
The website www.murtant.com. MEURTANT.org brings a lot of the art,
Okay.
and if there are texts under the image, there is a text that at times is introduced. Other themes are addressed in WordPress. If you type WordPress and Drager Murtant, you cannot escape. So those are the main entries to my work, and of a different nature, because I write about things, small essays
Yeah.
at this site, and my own art. Yeah, that's photograph, medium, text, the year of production, and that's,
Cool,
clear
cool.
cut.
Well, thank you so much for chatting with me. I'm so glad we made this work.
Thank you.
This has been amazing.
It traveled 5,000 kilometers or more. That's the fun stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Awesome. Well, I will let you know when this posts, and if you could share it with all of your people and all of your sites,
Yes.
that would be
Thanks.
fantastic. Thank you so much for indulging my lack of Zoom scheduling.
And
But yeah, that's, I appreciate you bearing with me and sticking with it, and this is awesome.
thank you for giving the opportunity, and let's enjoy life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We will definitely do it again.
Good.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Yeah, thank you. Have a great day as well. Bye bye.
Bye. So I'm ending it now, and I'm just sort of saying.
Thank you so much to Dragon Bertrand for taking the time out of your busy schedule to chat with me. This was so inspirational and fun. If you want to see more of Dragger, check out his website, dragonbertrand@.wordpress.com. If you like this episode, please share or like. Thanks for listening. This is a Hotspur Media production. Music by Corey Knoxville.